Last Sunday, September the 21st, over 275,000 people showed up at the State Farm Center and Complex for the memorial service for Charlie Kirk, 11 days after he was assassinated at a Turning Point event at Utah Valley University near Provo. And people, we've never seen anything like that before in our entire lives. 5 straight hours of music and worship and VIPs and government leaders sharing the gospel and gazillions of other people watching it all over the world.
You're the name of all names. Worthy of all praise. And my heart will see how great.
Over 100,000 people in that stadium lifting up Jesus. People, that wasn't just a memorial. It was a revival. A revival that right now is sweeping all over this country and all over the world. But listen to me. I believe with all my heart, the last revival, the last chance, the last call America and this world is going to get before Jesus comes. So God help us, people. God help us. If we don't see this for what it is and get down on our knees and surrender to it. Well, we're going to start doing that. We're going to start a series here this morning at Fox River, a series called Last Call, looking at all kinds of things that we need to do to get right with God and to serve His purposes before it's all said and done. And we're going to start this series this morning, Last Call, by looking at how this last revival and these last days is the last call for salvation. And to see that, we turn today to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Paul writes, "As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, 'In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you.' I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Amen. And let's pray. Lord, I just thank you so much for your word, and I pray you just show us this morning how desperately, Lord, we need to know that we are saved, especially in these last days, and you've given this last call. I pray you come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. In this part of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul is telling the people in Corinth, don't waste the grace of God. And in our text today, Paul tells them they need to get saved because the grace of God is a calling. And the Holy Spirit is telling today we need to get saved too. Because this last revival in these last days is the last call that we are ever going to get before Jesus comes. Our text this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, tells us 3 things that we need to do to answer this last call for salvation and get saved before the judgment falls and it's too late for sure. And let's look and see what those 2 things are, 3 things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing that we need to do to answer that last call for salvation, we need to hear that call from God. And that's exactly what we see here in verses 1 and 2. Because too many people have a hearing problem. My wife Sue tells me, "Kevin, you've got 2 major faults. Number 1, you never listen to me. And number 2, I don't know what the other one was." Yesterday she said, "You're not even listening to me, are you?" And I thought, what a strange way to start a conversation. Folks, we're not listening to God either. So for crying out loud, in these last days, put down the phone, pick up your Bible, shut your mouth, open your ears and pray. And not till God hears from us, but till we hear from Him. We got to answer that call to salvation. If anybody hears my voice, Jesus says, and opens the door. So the problem isn't that Jesus ain't calling. The problem is people aren't hearing. Because in these last days, He's calling a lot. Last November, Phoenix, Arizona, a woman named Jacqueline Hayes was charged with stalking because she went on a date with a guy who didn't want to go on another date with her. So she called that guy 65,721 times over the next 4 months, over 500 calls a day. The cops finally arrested her, breaking into that guy's house with a butcher knife. Talk about fatal attractions. Well, in these last days, God's calling us a lot too. But God's not calling you because He wants to stalk you. God's calling you because He wants to save you. Amen. Are we hearing that call from God? Are we hearing that call to salvation? For 27 years, Roger Lee from Lexington, Kentucky, thought he was going deaf because his hearing just kept getting worse and worse. Till last April when he had an MRI, come to find out he had two earplugs stuck in his ears that he had put in his ears 27 years ago when he was at a Ted Nugent concert. He forgot they were there. That's what was keeping him from hearing. Let me ask you this morning, what's keeping you hearing from God through His Word and the Holy Spirit and that still small voice and circumstances in your life and other people in your life? Because when God calls and you hear that call, that is your appointed time. Amen. Hollywood actor Chris Pratt, Jurassic Park, Guardians of the Galaxy. When he was 19 years old, he was a bum living in a van on a beach in Maui, parting his life away. But one day outside of a grocery store, an old Christian named Henry came up and told him Jesus was coming. And that all his partying and his drinking and his drugging was going to send him to hell. How's that for God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life? But when Henry asked Chris Pratt if he wanted to get saved, guess what? Chris Pratt said yes. And he prayed to receive Christ and became a Christian. And what do you know? Exactly one week after that, a Hollywood director named Ray Chung was in a Bubba Gump restaurant where Chris Pratt was working, noticed him, thought he was cute, sent him to Hollywood to make a movie, and the rest is history. So for crying out loud, people, when God calls you, you've got to pick up. You've got to pick up. You've got to listen. You've got to take that call. Because Genesis chapter 6, verse 3, the Spirit of God will not always strive with men, which means you do not have an unlimited number of times to get saved. The Bible says you can get saved only when God calls you. John chapter 6, verse 44. And in these last days, He is calling over and over and over again. And listen to me. You keep blocking that call. You keep sending it to spam. You keep sending it to voicemail. Come a time, you're going to get put on the no-call list. And you will never get another one. You got to hear that call to salvation. Because what God wants to talk to you about is the gospel. Every single one of us is a sinner, separated from a just and a holy God, Amen. Owing a debt that we can't pay and deserving of nothing but hell. But the good news is 2,000 years ago, God loved us so much in spite of our sin. He put His own Son, Jesus Christ, on a cross to pay that sin debt for us. So what do you know? Works are required for salvation. Just so happens, Jesus did them all. So you confess your sin to God, put your faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take your sins away, and ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart and be your Savior. Your debt is removed. Your sin is paid for. You are good to go. So works will not save you. Baptism won't save you. Baptism will get you wet. It won't get you to heaven. Communion won't save you. Praying to the saints, confessing to a priest, masses for the dead will not save you. Predestination will not save you. Candles and crystals will not save you. Charlie Kirk will not save you. Going to church won't save you. Kevin Garner's sermons won't save you. They'll make your ears bleed, but they won't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you. So Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Because today He calls, today He begs, today He pleads, but tomorrow He comes. And it'll be too late. Because if you're not hearing that call to salvation, you're not responding, you're not trusting Jesus Christ for your soul, that means hell. And I cannot tell you how many calls and letters and emails I've gotten over the years from other Christians and other pastors telling me, Kevin, it's wrong. It's wrong for you to talk about hell so much like you do. Seriously? I grew up on a farm. We had a long lane that ran right down the middle of that farm. And the mailbox was on the other side of the road that ran past our place down at the end of that lane. And when I was 5 years old, me and my mom would walk down that lane every single morning to get the mail. One morning we got to the end of the lane, my mom said, look, and she pointed, there's a dead rabbit on the road. Been run over and squashed about 1,000 times. My mom pointed to that dead rabbit, looked at me and said, that's what happens to little boys that don't look both ways when they cross the road. Man, did that ever make an impression on me. And 57 years later, I've never forgotten it. And believe you me, 57 years later, I still look both ways when I cross the street. Now, was it wrong for my mom to tell me that? No, she loved me too much not to tell me. Is it wrong for a doctor to tell a patient you've got cancer if you don't do something that's going to kill you? No. Is it wrong for God to tell somebody if you're not trusting in my son Jesus Christ for salvation, you're going to go to hell? No. God loves us too much not to tell us that.
Amen.
And there's somebody sitting in this church right now listening to this message. God's calling you to salvation too, because he doesn't want you to go to hell either. God calls us to salvation through that. Last Wednesday, September the 10th, Utah Valley University outside of Provo, 22-year-old Tyler Robinson shot and killed Charlie Kirk from 200 yards away with a .30-06 powerful enough to kill a moose, right in front of his wife Erica and two little kids who were on the trip with him. Charlie Kirk was a once-in-a-generation talent. Born-again Christian, great husband, great father, great American, who was murdered in cold blood simply for speaking the truth. So if anybody in this whole situation, and I mean anybody, had a right to go thermonuclear on Tyler Robinson, it was Erica Kirk, Charlie's wife. But notice what she did during that memorial service in Glendale, Arizona. A psycho gay guy with a psycho gay boyfriend who also thought he was trans and a furry murders her husband for no reason whatsoever. And at that rally, you can still see the pain in her eyes.
That man.
And right before she does it,
that's
video,
where I disagree.
Video. Right before she does it, she looks up to heaven with this defiant look on her face. Like, I can't do this. Because she knew it was going to be the hardest thing that she had ever done in her entire life. But with a broken heart, she said those three words heard by the entire world. The highlight of the entire rally.
That man. That young man. I forgive him.
One of the most powerful things I've ever seen on television. Because people, that was the Holy Spirit. That was Christianity. That's the gospel. Now, I will tell you, I don't know if I've forgiven Tyler Robinson for murdering Charlie Kirk yet. My first thought when I heard Erica Kirk say that, man, she really is a follower of Jesus Christ. You know what my second thought was? I'm sure glad Utah still has a death penalty. Here's what President Trump said about it later on in the rally.
And that's where I disagreed with Charlie. I hate my opponent. And I don't want the best for them. I'm sorry. I am sorry, Erica.
Now, if most of us in here are honest, we'll admit we're a lot more like President Trump than we are Erica Kirk. You pray for me, I'll pray for you. But Christians, we forgive horrible things that people do to us because God forgives the horrible things that we do. Amen. And forgiveness doesn't mean that that person that hurt you didn't hurt you. Doesn't mean they're off the hook. Doesn't mean they're right. It just means that you're free. So as hard as it is, forgiveness is the only way forward. See that leftist? See how it's done? And do you know why Erica Kirk was able to do that? Because that's exactly what Jesus Christ also did on the cross.
Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do.
So what Erica Kirk was saying is by this, through this, because of this, I forgive you. Amen. And people, that's the gospel. Forgiveness based on what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. And there is no other faith system, no other religion on the face of the earth that has that. And you know what? Erica Kirk and Jesus could say it because God the Father said it too. 2,000 years ago, God the Father had to stand back and let his son be crucified on the cross. So the sky turned black for 3 hours in the middle of the day. And as Jesus screamed out, my God, why have you forsaken me? God the Father had to turn his face away and not answer. And God will never, ever forget the cries of his son from the cross. But as hard as it is, God looks at us sinners who deserve the death penalty in hell too, just like Tyler Robinson, and says, I forgive you. Through this, by this, because of this, I forgive you. And I know there's somebody hearing us saying, Kevin, you mean to tell me that God would really forgive Tyler Robinson for murdering Charlie Kirk? Absolutely he would. And you know what? God will forgive you of any sin you've committed too. I don't care what it is. I don't care how bad it is. But to have that forgiveness, you've got to receive it in the way that God says. Just because Erica Kirk said to Tyler Robinson, I forgive you, doesn't mean that Tyler Robinson was forgiven by God. Tyler Robinson needs to go to God on his own and confess that sin to him and put his faith in the blood that Jesus shed on the cross to take that sin away and ask Jesus Christ to come into his heart and be his Savior. And you know what? You want to have that forgiveness from God? You've got to do exactly the same thing. Repent and turn to God that your sins may be wiped out, Acts chapter 3, verse 19. There's people sitting in this church right now listening to this sermon. The Lord is telling you exactly the same thing right now, isn't he? You heard Erica Kirk say it to Tyler Robinson. Right now, listen to the Holy Spirit as he tells it to you, as he says that to you in that still small voice. I will forgive you. I will forgive you by that, through that, because of that. Because the Holy Spirit is speaking to you in a way right now that you have never heard him speak to you before in your entire life. Which means this is your moment. This is your appointed time. This is the day of your salvation. It's time to get saved. So for crying out loud right here, right now, come to Jesus Christ. Because right now you have a call from God. And listen to me. Listen to me. You've got no guarantee. No guarantee you're ever going to get another one. The first thing that we need to do to answer this last call for salvation, we need to hear it from God. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do in order to answer that last call for salvation. We not only need to hear it from God, we also need to understand the revival that's bringing it. And that's also what we see here in verses 1 and 2. Because does everybody understand what God has done with our country? Last election day, November the 5th, only because of his mercy and his grace. God spared this country from the judgment that we deserved under Kamala Harris. And he gave us a reprieve, a little bit of time. Because all of us watchmen on the wall have been praying our guts out for years and years for one more revival. Just one more, one last revival before the rapture and the start of the great tribulation. And people were seeing it. God used the election of Donald Trump to change people's minds and bring about a political revival. Now God's using the death of Charlie Kirk to change people's hearts and bring about a spiritual revival. And folks, that revival isn't just coming. It's already here. Amen. The Charlie Kirk effect, they call it.
I didn't know Charlie Kirk. Never met that guy before in my life. And something else that I've never done before in my life is believe in God. I'm going to wear this suit to church. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to try to be a better father, husband, and leader for my family.
It has been so heavy on my heart that I needed something. So after Charlie Kirk's death and seeing what this world truly is, now's the time. There's no more waiting.
Today will be my son's first day, first time to the church. And today is the first time that me and my fiance together, collectively, are going to church. Today is the first day that my family is going to church. So this is all because of Charlie and his gospel, his words. And today starts our turning point.
And people say, well, Kevin, people may be going to church, but is anybody really getting saved? Listen to what that guy says.
I've been a lifelong atheist. I never believed in God, but I saw the joy that it brought to Charlie. And it brought me to God. And really moved me to see him. And I was looking forward to meeting him and telling him that you helped me find God.
It's revival, people. Churches all over America, Easter Sunday full. People going to church for the first time or going back to church after having been gone for a coon's age. Americans bought 10 million Bibles in the last month alone. Prayer meetings are filled to bustin'. It's revival. Lake Point Church, Rockwell, Texas, last Sunday, September the 21st, 682 people saved and baptized in one day, in one service. Church never seen anything like that before in its entire history. A ministry called Unite Us last week held a crusade in Tampa, Florida. Over 7,000 young people showed up. Over 1,000 of them prayed to receive Christ. A lot of them Satanists and devil worshipers. And now for the first time in the history of this country, there are more young people going to church than there are old people going to church. You don't think God is doing something? Revival breaking out on college campuses all over the place. Revival at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. Ohio State University last week, they held a worship event. So many students showed up, they had to move the thing outside. Revival at the University of Oklahoma at Norman. Even here at Little Fox River Church, this little country church in the middle of nowhere, we've had people come forward for altar calls before I even give an altar call. Folks, don't tell me this isn't Joel chapter 2. In these last days, God will pour out His Spirit on all flesh. And along with this revival is coming a huge, huge culture change. Because we the people are sick and tired of the insanity. And we're done with the stupid woke brain rot. See what the man does when he walks into a Walmart in Temecula, California, and sees a leftist screaming about free Palestine on a megaphone? We the people are ticked off. We've had enough. We're done. Here's what Secretary of War Pete Hegseth said to hundreds and hundreds of U.S. generals just last week.
No more identity months, DEI offices, dudes in dresses. No more climate change worship. No more division, distraction, or gender delusions. No more debris. As I've said before and will say again, we are done.
That's what we voted for. Culture change. Last September the 11th, President Trump ordered all American flags over all government buildings in America lowered to half staff in honor of Charlie Kirk. But the leftist mayor of Aurora, Illinois, told all of his departments to keep the flags raised high. So you know what one fire chief did at a firehouse in central Aurora? He lowered the flag to half staff and then put a padlock on the rope so it couldn't be raised any higher. Touché! See the revival? See the culture change that's coming from the revival brought about by the death of Charlie Kirk? But of course, with the revival from the Holy Spirit also comes the attack from the devil. And how do we know that? Charlie Kirk was killed in a suburb of Provo called Orem. Orem is a Hebrew word that means serpent. Charlie Kirk's last name, Kirk, means church, the serpent attacking the church. And that's been the pattern we've seen for how long now? A tranny shoots up the Covenant Christian School in Nashville, Tennessee, Audrey Hale. Kills how many people? Six. Three children, each age 9. 999 inverted is 666. Kills three adults, ages what? 60, 60, and 61. 666. Tranny Robert Westman shot up the Catholic school in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Killed two students, an 8-year-old and a 10-year-old. 8 plus 10 equals 18. 6 plus 6 plus 6. In that shooting, Robert Westman also wounded 18 other people. 18, 6 plus 6 plus 6, 666. Just last Sunday, September the 28th, 41-year-old Thomas Sanford drove his pickup truck into a Mormon church in Grand Blanc, Michigan. Jumped out, set the place on fire, and started shooting. Ended up killing four people and burning that entire church to the ground before the cops came and finally took him out. Killed four. Wounded 8, 6 were burned. 4 plus 8 plus 6 is 18. 6 plus 6 plus 6. And even though the Mormons aren't real Christians, the vast majority of them are solid conservative and they vote MAGA. So folks, even the people who come close, even the people who come close to believing what you and I do, even the people who come close to believing what Charlie Kirk did, even they're not safe in America right now. Do we see what's happening? Right now we are seeing the greatest revival in the history of the church in this country. But we're also seeing the greatest demonic attack against the church in the history of this country. So every single one of you, heads up. And the attacks continue. Rapper Bad Bunny refuses to perform on American soil because President Trump right now is cracking down on illegal immigration. Folks, Bad Bunny raps songs that conjure demon spirits. Even his own fans say there's a demonic presence to his music. And yet last week the NFL asked Bad Bunny to be the halftime show at this year's Super Bowl. So in the middle of a nationwide revival of Christianity, you give a demonic communist the biggest platform in the world to push anti-Christianity. Do we see the attack against the revival that's brought about by the death of Charlie Kirk? And I know somebody's hearing this, you're saying, Kevin, why did God spare Donald Trump, but God didn't spare Charlie Kirk? That's very simple. Donald Trump needed to stay alive to bring about the political revival. Charlie Kirk needed to die to bring about the spiritual revival. Because every single time in the Bible, first there's a martyr, then there's revival. Genesis chapter 4, Cain kills his brother Abel. What happens after that, after Abel dies? Genesis chapter 4, verse 26, men began to call on the name of the Lord. Stephen in Acts chapter 7. Stephen was just like Charlie Kirk. Stephen was 31 years old. Charlie Kirk was 31 years old. Nobody could beat Stephen in a debate. Nobody could beat Charlie Kirk in a debate. Stephen was assassinated in a public place. Charlie Kirk was assassinated in a public place. And after Stephen died, Acts chapter 7, verses 59 and 60, what happened? Acts chapter 8, verse 4, the disciples spread out and took the gospel with them and spread the revival with them too. Exactly the same thing has happened now after the death of Charlie Kirk. After Charlie Kirk has died, there are more people going on his social media and watching and listening to his content than they ever did when Charlie Kirk was alive. And right now his organization has gotten requests to start over 70,000 Turning Point chapters in the United States. Folks, at that rate, there's going to be a Turning Point chapter in every school in this country. But notice, the only reason that happened is because Charlie Kirk died. And John MacArthur and Vaughn Baucham, they're dropping like flies, folks. I don't know exactly what God is doing. I don't know everything, but I do know this. The devil has overplayed his hand. Because right now, God is raising up a whole brand new generation of Christian leaders. Like Jacob Peterson and Sadie Robertson and Wes Huff and Carter Wilson, who are going to be as bold as a lion and proclaim the name of Jesus until he parts the clouds and comes again. Amen. Do we understand the revival? Do we understand that that revival happened at that memorial service in Glendale, Arizona? Because that service was live streamed to over 100 million people all over the planet. The biggest one-day proclamation of the gospel in the history of the world. People, very few times in your life will you ever see Jesus Christ lifted up in the eyes of the world. You definitely saw it there. And what happened during that service was absolutely incredible. Worship leader Brandon Lake leading that huge congregation in that song, Gratitude.
So I throw up my head and praise you again.
People, that's one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my entire life. Speaker after speaker, pastors, politicians, Trump cabinet members, Turning Point officials, all preached the gospel. Secretary of State Marco Rubio, a government official, said this.
His deep belief that we were all created, every single one of us, before the beginning of time, by the hands of the God of the universe, an all-powerful God, who loved us and created us for the purpose of living with him in eternity. But then sin entered the world and separated us from our Creator.
This is a politician
saying this.
And so
God took on the form of a man and came down and lived among us. And he suffered like men. And he died like a man. But on the third day he rose unlike any mortal man. still. And when he returns, because he took on that death, because he carried that cross, we were freed from the sin that separated us from him. And when he returns, there will be a new heaven and a new earth, and we will all be together, and we are going to have a great reunion there again with Charlie and all the people we love. Thank you, and God bless you.
You're preaching the gospel better than most pastors in this country. Charlie Kirk's pastor, Rob McCoy, even gave an altar call during that service.
That would desire to receive Jesus as their Savior, as Charlie did as a young man, and now is in the presence of his Savior, I'm going to ask you to put action to your faith. And I'd ask you to stand right now to receive the Lord. Don't be ashamed. Stand. Amen. Amen. Amen.
You see all the thousands and thousands of people standing up and getting saved just in that service, just inside that stadium? Folks to the left wanted a funeral. Instead, they got a revival. And what effect did that service have on other people? Actor Tim Allen, who played the Santa Claus, and Tim the Tool Man Taylor. Tim Allen's father was a real estate agent named Charles Dick. Back in 1960, when Tim Allen was only 11 years old, his father was driving him and his mother and his brothers and sisters back home from a football game in Colorado, when all of a sudden a drunk driver swerved and smashed into their car head on. And Tim Allen's father was killed. And that pain never went away. And Tim Allen held on to that grudge against that drunk driver who killed his father so bad, it eventually turned him away from the Lord. And he started turning to drugs and drinking. Even spent a stretch of time in prison because of it. Till he finally turned to acting and got his life turned around. Tim Allen said last summer he started reading the Bible for the first time in a long time, but that grudge was still there. But this is what Tim Allen posted after he saw Charlie Kirk's wife forgive the man who murdered her husband. My father was killed by a drunk driver when I was 11 years old. He was the only one killed, but he died in my mother's lap. My other two brothers were thrown around the car. A lot of kids were hurt, and the pain of it never stopped. But when Erica Kirk spoke those words on the man who killed her husband, that man, that young man, I forgive him. That moment deeply affected me. I have struggled for over 60 years to forgive the man who killed my dad. I will say those words now as I type. I forgive the man who killed my father. Peace be with you all. Praise God, people, from whom all blessings flow.
Amen.
Another person at that rally was Elon Musk. Elon Musk calls himself a cultural Christian. Doesn't believe that Jesus is the Son of God or the Savior of the world, but realizes that Christianity is necessary for America and Western civilization to survive. Doesn't believe in the God of the Bible, dresses up in devil Baphomet costumes, wants to put AI microchips in your brain to control your thoughts, even went to war against President Trump and threatened to start his own political party. And yet there was Elon Musk at the Charlie Kirk memorial service. Spent a little bit of time with President Trump up in the VIP section, and then went and did that. Went to a special section of that stadium that was roped off for security reasons and guarded to the hilt, and sat down there all by himself, watching and listening. The second richest man in the whole wide world, who owns more satellites in outer space right now than all the countries of Europe combined. A man who is so powerful, the U.S. War Department has to get Elon Musk's permission to do telecommunications with NATO over Europe. That's how powerful he is. And yet his personal life is an absolute mess. Autistic. He's a loner. Elon Musk said he never had one real friend his entire life. Married and divorced three different times. He's got 14 kids by four different women, and even lost a son to transgenderism because now the boy thinks he's a girl. But there was Elon Musk all by himself at that memorial service, watching and listening to one presentation of the gospel after the other. And what do you know? Do you know what Elon Musk tweeted out, posted on X during that memorial service? Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. He's quoting the Lord's Prayer. People, don't tell me that service didn't have an impact on him. And don't tell me that memorial service wasn't one of the greatest moves of God in the history of this country. Everybody and his brother today, all psyched up about the death of Charlie Kirk. And folks, their salvations and their baptisms and their testimonies just blow you away. But the most important question this morning, what about you? You saw the evil that killed Charlie Kirk. You felt the Holy Spirit move on your heart. You came to this church today. Now the question is, are you going to take that next step and surrender your life to Jesus Christ and find out this whole thing about Charlie Kirk really isn't about Charlie Kirk. It's really about Jesus. For crying out loud, get under the spout where the glory comes out and come to Jesus Christ so that the revival isn't just out there. It's also in here. The second thing we need to do in order to answer that last call to salvation, we need to understand the revival. We go on this text, we see a third thing. A third thing we need to do to answer that last call for salvation. We not only need to hear it from God, we not only need to understand the revival that brought it. Third, we need to understand the times that we're living in. And that's also what we see here in verses 1 and 2. And there's the end times chart. And so even if you can't see it, or don't see it, or won't see it, we are right there. Right at the end of the church age, right before the rapture and the start of the great tribulation.
Hallelujah.
And you say, Kevin, how do you know? How do you know? You always say that. How do you know we're at the end of the church age? Because the last of the seven churches in Revelation is the puke-warm church of Laodicea, which is exactly the kind of church we have in America and all over the world right now.
Amen.
So it's not prime time. It's not Miller time. It's not pumpkin spice time because it's still 90 degrees outside. And even if they are selling Christmas decorations at Costco already, it's not the most wonderful time of the year. It's the end times. And the last chance that we have to be saved before Jesus comes again. And people, listen to me. Time is running out. Do you understand the time? And I know somebody's hearing this today say, Kevin, me, you don't understand the time. Because Kevin, you said the rapture was going to happen September the 23rd during the Jewish Feast of Trumpets. And it didn't happen. Kevin, thousands and thousands of people all over the world stood outside that day waiting for the rapture to come and take them away, and it didn't. People quit their jobs thinking they were going to be gone. A lady in Colorado even sold her house thinking that she was going to be raptured. So many people posted on TikTok, they called it rapture talk for the month after and the month before and the couple weeks after. Kevin, you said it was going to happen, it didn't happen. Let me ask you, how do you know the rapture didn't happen? Maybe you just weren't good enough to make the cut. No. I never said the rapture was going to happen last September the 23rd. I said the rapture could happen last September the 23rd because the rapture could happen anytime. Well, Kevin, are you going to stop talking about it now? You're going to stop talking about the rapture because of the delay and the fact that it's been 2,000 years and Jesus isn't here? Absolutely not. Because delay doesn't mean cancel. And gone for a long time doesn't mean gone forever. People, listen. The last words that Jesus gave us of his in the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, verse 20, "Behold, I come quickly," which means the rapture is imminent. It could happen any time. When your parents leave the house and tell you they're going to be gone for 3 weeks on a cruise, and you throw the mother of all parties at the house and completely trash it, then you get a call from your parents 15 minutes later, telling you they missed their flight, they're going to be home any minute. That's imminence. Jesus could be here any second. Folks, I believe the pre-tribulation rapture of the church could happen any second so much, I don't even buy green bananas anymore. People, Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. The church is going to be taken, the dead are going to be wakened, and the world is going to be shaken, just exactly like he said. Because Jesus has never been wrong about anything else before. You understand the times? And why the rapture? Not because we want to get out of persecution. Christians are being persecuted all over the world right now. We don't look for the rapture because we think it's going to get us going to work the next day. And so we can escape the pure wrath of God that's going to be poured out during the great tribulation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. And folks, we're getting a preview of what those creature features are going to be like during the Great Tribulation right now. 1974, the World Health Organization tried to come up with a vaccine that would sterilize people and depopulate the planet. Well, what do you know? 2020, they came up with the COVID vaccine, the clot shot. COVID itself killed 3 million people. The COVID vaccine killed 17 million people and counting, and wounded over 50 million others. Pretty good start. And remember how they told you over and over again there was no toxic graphene in the COVID vaccine? You know why they told you that? Because there was toxic graphene in the COVID vaccine. And what's graphene? Chemical compounds, 6 protons, 6 electrons, 6 neutrons. 666. Evil. And folks, that evil is just ramping up because the devil knows his time is short. This coming November the 1st is the annual celebration called the Day of the Dead. Came from Mexico and Latin America. Now there's so many people in our country gaga over it. It's become like another national holiday. Illinois Valley Community College is celebrating the Day of the Dead by building a huge shrine to dead people. And they're asking the public, you and me, to bring them food and drinks. Dead people don't eat or drink, folks. Listen, anytime you have any so-called contact with dead people, it's demonic. Because the Bible says that all people who are dead right now are either in heaven or in hell. And the Bible says there is a great chasm that's been fixed so they can't cross over and communicate with us in any way, shape, or form. Amen. There's no such thing as ghosts. But there is such a thing as demon spirits. So when you're supposedly contacting that dead person in a seance or a tarot card reading, it's not the dead person. It's a demonic spirit impersonating that dead person. Day of the Dead. You talk about giving the devil a foothold. Do we understand the time? Right before the Great Tribulation, when God's going to pour out holy hell judgment on this world for rejecting Jesus Christ? Most people today have no idea. They have no clue what's coming. Troubled, Jesus said, the likes of which the world has never seen before and will never see again. And if you're not a Christian, if you're not saved, you're going to be in it right up to your eyeballs. Jesus said, Luke chapter 21, verse 26, it is going to be so bad and so scary. Men's hearts will faint on account of fear, which means people are going to be having grabbers and stroking out. Revelation chapter 7, verse 9 says other people, it'll be so bad and so scary. They will want to die and won't be able to. And what most people don't realize, what's holding back the worst of the evil right now, because it could be a lot worse right now than it is. What's holding all that evil back, what's restraining it, is the Holy Spirit. Right. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. And what people don't realize, when the rapture comes and takes us Christians out of here, the Holy Spirit goes with us. So you talk about opening the floodgates and Katie bar the door. You think the violence is bad now? You think crime is bad now? You think the earthquakes and the hurricanes and the tornadoes are bad now? You think child sex trafficking is bad now? You ain't seen nothing yet. And how scary bad can it really get? Last summer, astronomers discovered an interstellar object in our solar system. Interstellar means it came from somewhere outside of our solar system. The third interstellar object that's ever been detected. And they called it 3i Atlas. And people, what makes it so freaky, this thing is massive, 7 miles wide, the size of Manhattan, and it is heading straight toward planet Earth at 140,000 miles per hour. So grab your ankles, folks, because if that thing hits our planet the size of Mount Everest, that's all she wrote. And what do you know? Revelation chapter 8, verse 8 says that one of the judgments that God is going to pour out after the rapture, after all of us Christians are gone, one of the judgments he's going to pour out during the Great Tribulation, a mountain burning with fire will fly out of the stars and crash into the ocean. And turn one third of the water into blood. And kill one third of all the creatures in the sea. There's death, plague, disease, the destruction of the rain cycle, economic disaster, the whole nine yards just from that one thing. Folks, what Revelation chapter 8, verse 8 says is going to happen to this planet is now heading straight toward us. But folks, even if it's not the same one, even if it's another mountain to come after that, it's still giving us a preview of what's going to happen in the last days. Because Jesus said, Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, the heavens will be shaken and the stars will fall from the sky. And Jesus has never been wrong about anything he ever said before. What freaks you out the most, astronomers at Harvard say that 3I Atlas isn't just an asteroid or a comet because it's moving too fast and it's taking a really strange angle to get to us. So you know what they say it is? An alien spacecraft come to spy on our planet. And that's not the only thing we have to worry about. Remember summer and fall of 2024, all the funky things people saw flying over the United States? Now, some of them were just drones, but the other ones
would be a bigger bummer. Just these are much more valuable types of crops, and you got to be a lot more careful around them. And it really hasn't been until recently that technology has advanced to the point where we can do these kinds of things in these very...
Like a golden orb that you see in the occult. And that one right there. Like the vision Ezekiel saw in Ezekiel chapter 1. The wheels within the wheels, all covered with eyes. People, what in the world was that? Last New Year's Eve, there were UFOs over the Biden White House and the U.S. Capitol building. I could go on and on. And how many of y'all realize those things haven't stopped showing up either? It's just that the media is no longer telling you about it. And why doesn't the government tell us what they are? Because the government knows what they are. And don't want to tell you. Because they know they don't have the technology to do anything about it. Last March, retired Pentagon official Charles Mellon said the vast majority of the drones that people across the United States are seeing in the sky are really UFOs launched from a mothership. Remember 5 years ago during President Donald Trump's first term when he created Space Force, the fifth branch of the military? 5 years ago, Israeli General Hiram Eshed said the reason that Donald Trump created Space Force is because the United States of America has already come into contact with space aliens and extraterrestrials. Okay. 12 years ago, NASA was already trying to hire pastors and clergy to break the news to the American people that space aliens were real and that they were not only real, they're already living among us. So who is it that's sitting next to you in church this morning? And how do you know that for sure? Holy ET phone home, people. You talk about freaky. Now, before anybody gets up and walks out, let me say this. I believe in little green space aliens about as much as I believe in pregnant men. Because those little green space aliens and those UFOs are really demon spirits. Years ago, Aleister Crowley, who started the Church of Satan, drew a picture of a demon that he liked to conjure up and communicate with. A demon spirit that he called Lom. And what do you know? Everybody who claims to have seen space aliens, everybody who claims they've been abducted by them, describe them as looking at the exact same way. The exact same thing. And why is that? Because the UFOs and all those aliens supposedly are demon spirits. Jesus said, Luke chapter 17, verse 26, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Genesis chapter 6 verse 4 says, in the days of Noah, demonic spirits, fallen angels, hooked up with human women and created a demonic race called the Nephilim. And that demonic spirit survived the flood. And Jesus says, Luke chapter 17 verse 26, right before he comes again, those demon spirits are coming back. And they're going to be manifesting themselves and running wild all over the place. And not just out there, but also down here. And because right now we are this close to the Great Tribulation, they're all coming out to play. And how do we know that? Last summer, the United States military spotted a UFO, a golden orb, off the coast of Yemen. And the U.S. military launched an MQ-9 drone that shot a Hellfire missile at that UFO. Now, people, they call them Hellfire missiles, Hellfire for a reason, because they are incredibly destructive. But look on this video, what happened to that UFO when it got hit by that Hellfire missile?
Are you aware of anything in the government, United States government arsenal that can split a Hellfire missile like this?
No.
And do whatever blob thing it did and then keep going? Nothing?
Nothing.
All right, how about you, Chief Wiggins?
Nothing to my knowledge, ma'am.
Did you see that? That missile hit that UFO, and the missile split in half. It just bounced right off of it. And the UFO jolted a little bit, but then it just kept going. No damage done whatsoever. Federal government has no explanation for what that thing was. They know what it is. They just won't tell you. I'll tell you what it is. That UFO is a demon spirit. And because of that, we do not have the physical military weapons to take those things out, which means those demon spirits are going to be having a field day all during the Great Tribulation, torturing people and tormenting people and scaring the daylights out of people until Jesus comes and takes them out himself at the Battle of Armageddon. See what's going to happen after the rapture? See what's going to be going on during the Great Tribulation? And people, that's just a little peek. That's just a little glimpse of what's coming. Just a little glimpse of the creature features that's going to be here. So you're listening to the sermon this morning. You're not a Christian. You're not a believer. Let me ask you, do you really understand the times? Do you really understand how short time is? Do you realize that any second now, Jesus Christ could come in the rapture and take us Christians and the Holy Spirit out of here? So let me ask you this morning. Don't you want to get saved and come with us? Don't you want to become a Christian? And get out of Dodge before the real trouble starts. Jesus said, Luke chapter 21, verse 36, watch and pray. Watch and pray that you might be able to escape all that is about to happen on the earth. That escape, that only escape, is Jesus Christ. Next picture. Next picture. There's unbelievers listening to this sermon right now. There are certain moments in our lives that make us. And this moment right now is a moment that's going to make you. Because right now God is pouring out Holy Spirit revival on this country. And He is calling people to salvation all over this country. I believe the last revival, the last call we're going to get before He comes again. So right here, right now, at this moment, God is calling you to salvation. The Spirit of God will not always strive with men. Right now you're hearing Him call you. Is your time to respond. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your time to get saved. Amen. Charlie Kirk's organization is called Turning Point. You're sitting in this church right now. This moment that God has given you right now, this is the turning point in your life. Because you're tired of the world. You're tired of the sin. You're tired of the things of this life that do not satisfy. How many unbelievers sitting in this church right now would say along with me, Kevin, I'm tired of my life. I want to be like Charlie Kirk. I want my life to count for something. I want to know God. I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I want to be saved. I want to know where I stand with the Lord in these last days. If that's you, the very nanosecond this service is over, I want you to get up out of your seat, come to the front of this church, find one of us up here and pray with us. And we will lead you into that relationship with Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit speaking to your heart. Jesus coming any second. Eternity, heaven and hell hanging in the balance. This is your moment. This is the moment that's going to make or break you. I don't have a melodramatic bone in my body, but right now you are getting a call from God. You have no idea. You have no idea you're ever going to get another one. This is it. Today is your day of salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, just thank you for your word, and I thank you, Lord, that you make it clear about where we are and especially the times that we're living in. I just pray for somebody today who does not know you, somebody who's never prayed that prayer, somebody who's never made that commitment. Lord, today would be their day of salvation. Pray that your Holy Spirit would just continue to work on their heart and just move them toward you. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.